Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Beginners SEO Podcast with me, Phoebe Gill from The Plan Success. This is the perfect podcast for you if you're a small business owner, a freelancer, a blogger, or maybe you're a marketer and you're getting started on your SEO journey. And frankly, you're overwhelmed. You've read a few blog posts, you might have watched a few YouTube channels or listened to a podcast, and everyone seems to be talking in this technical language and you have no idea the phrases they're turning out. Well then, welcome to my podcast where I try not to use any technical phrases. I explain everything to do with SEO in an easy to understand way, meaning that you can take these lessons and apply them to your own website ASAP. Literally, I want to empower you as a small business owner to do your own SEO. I'm a firm believer in the fact that for most small business websites, you can do your own SEO. Yes, in an ideal world, you know, you want to be making so much money that you can outsource, or you're so busy that you need to outsource it. But the reality is, for most small businesses, you know, if you're a one-man band or one-woman band getting started, you have to do it all. And that's where I personally think it's far better to DIY your SEO than to outsource it to, you know, a developing country where you're paying them £100 a month or whatever, but you're getting absolutely F all back. It's just literally throwing £100 or £200 down the drain. It's so much better if you can't afford quality services to do it yourself. Okay, so now you know what the podcast is about. Today we're going to be talking about beginner SEO mistakes, my top beginner SEO mistakes. Not the mistakes I make, because I like to think I don't make too many these days, but the top beginner SEO mistakes I see people like you doing time and time again. I definitely did do them as well when I first started out in SEO. But this episode is to help you avoid making the same mistakes that I did. So shall we get started? Now, the first mistake, it's so easy to do, and I think a lot of people do it without realizing. And Google hates it because it's a sure sign you're overly optimizing your website and you're not creating your website for humans. You're trying to, you know, game the system. And that is keyword stuffing. Now, if you haven't heard of this before, don't worry. Let me explain it. Have you ever gone onto a website, say a gardening website, a landscaping website, and they're a landscaping website in Liverpool, and the heading is best landscaping services in Liverpool. And then they've got a paragraph underneath it and it's saying, if you're looking for landscaping services in Liverpool, then look no further. We are the best landscaping Liverpool services around the area. We've been voted the best landscaping services in Liverpool 3 years in a row. Do you get my drift? You're using the keywords over and over again. And the reason why people do this is because 20 years ago, when SEO was first sort of a baby industry, that used to work, genuinely. You used to be able to stuff your keyword in a page hundreds of times and it would rank that keyword. You know, the algorithm on Google was as simple as that. Back then it was Ask Jeeves or whatever. But that's how simple the algorithm was. Nowadays, Google is so smart, it doesn't actually look for your one specific keyword. It's looking for synonyms. It's looking for related words. It's also looking for the words around what you've chosen as your keyword for the context, and it can work out often what your keyword is just by the context on the page. So there's no need for keyword stuffing. I actually talk about exactly where to place keywords in my course, which you can check out on theplansuccess.com. It's a great course that literally optimizes your website exactly how I would do it if you were paying me as your client, as it would be my client. But chances are, probably if you're a small business owner, you can't afford to get an SEO specialist in. So this way, using the course, it does it all for you exactly as I would do it. And it tells you exactly where to put those keywords. But keyword stuffing, you know, if you can't afford the course as well, I don't want you to think you have to invest in that. It's just a great tool to speed it up. Have a look at keyword stuffing and sort of analyze your website again and think, hang on, you know, maybe I am using my keywords a little bit too often. Maybe I should tone it down a bit. The second mistake is, this is a funny one I see. So let's use that example again of landscaping services in Liverpool. And so if you're looking at a keyword research tool And there's lots of good ones out there. There's free ones out there. Actually, the one that I discuss in my course is Google Ad Planner, which you can use for free. It gives you the difficulty score, the volumes, everything for free. And I teach you how to get around not having to pay for it in the course. So it's a good way to do it for free. But lots of keyword research tools, they'll show landscaping Liverpool as sort of the keyword. And so you think, oh, okay, that's what I should be putting on my website. And so you'll go onto a website and the heading will be landscaping Liverpool. And then it'll be like, we are the best landscaping Liverpool around. And it's like, that's not English. That doesn't make sense. So that's basically writing the keywords as they appear in keyword research tools. It looks shit. It's not common sense. And again, Google can tell that you're trying to game the system. Google knows that if you're writing landscaping services in Liverpool, you will show up for landscaping Liverpool. You don't have to worry about writing it exactly as it seems in the keyword research tool. The third mistake I see when it comes to keyword research is trying to go after those high volume keywords at the start. So for instance, landscaping Liverpool might have a monthly search volume of say 500, probably not, because I can't imagine it's warm enough to need landscaping services that often in Liverpool, but you never know. So let's say 500 a month in Liverpool, landscaping Liverpool. However, you're a brand new website, you're a brand new business, and the business that is currently ranking number one for landscaping Liverpool, they've been around for years. And actually, it turns out there's like 20 other businesses in Liverpool that are all ranking well for landscaping Liverpool. What would I do? I would niche down. And I talk about this a lot in an episode where I talk about local SEO mistakes. It's when people don't niche down and go for those lower volume but often easier keywords. So I'd probably look at a small area in Liverpool and try and rank for landscaping in whatever borough or area neighborhood I'm in Liverpool, say landscaping in the Wirral or something like that. Really try and go for easier keywords, lower volume keywords, rather than going for a higher volume keyword that you're never going to rank for. It's far better to have some traffic coming in than zero traffic coming in because you got greedy and wanted to go for the higher volume keyword. Number four, and I am whipping through these today. This is what happens when you plan a podcast episode properly. You know, you just flow, everything's coming out. I'm hoping we're getting some value out of this as well. But number four is choosing or prioritizing a fancy design, moving animations, flashy lights, you know, the ability to sort of teleport yourself into the website, all those kind of features over a simple, clean designed website. And why is that? If you're Apple, you've got, you know, a budget of hundreds of millions in your marketing. So therefore, you can afford the best web developers, the best hosting services. Hosting is the place you actually let your website live on the internet, because your website actually needs to have a home on the internet, and you pay for that, and that is your hosting. And whether or not your website is fast is often down to your hosting company. So, you know, if you're Apple, you can afford to pay for the fastest hosting, and you can afford to pay for the smoothest web developers that create all these flashy things and the website works perfectly. But if you're not Apple and you're a one-person small business owner and you've chosen a really fancy design template, say you're on WordPress and you've chosen a really, really cool looking theme with lots of flashing lights and everything, what will happen is you'll find that you might have a lot more sort of bugs popping up, which is not great. And because you're a one-person band, you don't know how to fix those. So then your website just sort of has an error on it, or, you know, parts of it aren't working, or perhaps the hosting, you can't afford to pay for the really fast hosting. And because of all this extra code from the animations, flashing lights, the ability to teleport yourself in and out of the website, it becomes very, very slow. And again, you're a one-person band. You don't have to figure it out. So I always, always say to people starting a new website, let's just get the minimal viable product out there. I want a clean looking website. Yes, choose your brand colors, keep them more cohesive. That's lovely. But the design doesn't matter. The design should overtake speed and ease of use. Yes, design is important. I've talked about this before. Google favors good design, good user experience, but that doesn't mean fancy. You know, there's a very simple blurred line between the two. And I want you to focus on clean, simple designs over fancy designs that look really cool, but might not work that well. Number six is when you've got a lot of excess pages on your website that you haven't realized are being indexed by Google. And when I say indexed by Google, it means Google thinks you want these pages as part of your website. What pages am I talking about? Imagine again, you're using a theme or a template to design your website, which 100% do that. But make sure you've got rid of the example pages. For instance, if you're a carpenter, you might have some pages and you chose a carpenter theme. You then might have an example page of, say, a wood cabinet that came with the theme of the website. And then you forget about that page because you think, oh, I'm not using it. But if you keep that page live, then Google thinks you're wanting to index that page, but it doesn't actually connect with the rest of your page. So it's thinking, oh, why have they got this page up here? Clearly, this website isn't very well looked after. I don't really understand the navigation of this website. Let's not rank this website very highly. It's also the same with if you're constantly creating new versions of pages. Sometimes people won't delete the old version of the page. So then you've got three versions of the same page all trying to rank for the same thing. Make sure you know exactly which pages are live on your website or published on your website, and make sure you are drafting, as in you're putting to draft, or you're even deleting the pages you don't want. We only want visible pages that you want to be seen by customers on your website. I really see this a lot, and it really does drag down the quality score of a website when you've got lots of excess, duplicate drafts. I don't know, you were drunk one night and thought it would be funny to make a joke page and then you left it up there. No, we need to make sure we have the exact pages we want visible live. We don't want any excess on there. So this is something you could do today. Just run through the back end of your website and check that you haven't got any draft pages live. You haven't got any template pages live for when you bought the website theme. If you have, delete them, draft them. Number six, letting AI do everything for you. Now, I love AI tools. I think they're great for speeding up processes. But let's be honest, you'll hear things being like, oh, look how I use AI to create a Shopify website that's now creating me $50,000 a month. Well, that's not true, is it? It's just not true. Have you tried typing into ChatGPT, please create me a website on Shopify that will make me money? Yeah, it doesn't really work like that. It will tell you what to do, but it doesn't actually do it. So in that sense, I'm trying to say that AI is not where it's going to be in 10 years time. 10 years time, probably it will be able to do that for you. But now, use it as a tool, but don't think it's going to create a brand for you. AI cannot do everything for you. You need to have the strategy there. You need to actually be doing the planning. If you don't, when you ask AI, using the voice of Elon Musk, create me, 20 LinkedIn posts or something, you're just doing what Tom over in New Zealand is also doing, because he read about it online as well. Everyone's using AI for the same things. Therefore, we're all putting out the same content, which means your content won't stand out, which means Google will not think highly of your website. Use AI as a tool. If you've got, writer's block, use it to help you with the outlines. But do not think AI will be able to create your website for you, will be able to create blog posts for you, will be able to perfectly create content for you. It doesn't work like that. I'm afraid there's still a big element of manual work in there. If you went to the best marketing agencies in the world, they're not using AI to scale a brand yet. It's just not there yet. And finally, number seven, my number one mistake. And this, I think, was something I was very much a victim of when I first started SEO. And I don't want to name any names, A, because they wouldn't listen to me. They don't care about me. Who am I? But my number one mistake I don't want you to fall for is listening to SEO gurus, who is a specific type of SEO experts out there, who try and make it sound overcomplicated. They try and throw out words like semantic SEO, content clusters. I don't know. I don't even pay attention to them, so I don't even know the names of these things anymore. But they try and make SEO sound like some sort of wizardry that you can game, and they know a secret SEO strategy that you must use. They're lies. And the reason they're doing that, it's a marketing tactic. They want SEO to sound more complicated than it is, so that you will either, you know, invest in their services or buy their product. It's a marketing strategy. It's the same reason management consultants can charge obscene prices for a PowerPoint, because they're using technical language. And they do that to justify the fact that the PowerPoint this company's paid $100,000 for is done by a graduate 6 months out of a master's degree in a completely irrelevant topic with no business experience at all. It's just the way of the world. People use technical language to try and put value on something. It's the same way a heavier object will often be more expensive than the same object, which is just lighter. The weight of it makes it feel premium. It all comes down to marketing. And so I really want you to focus on the fact that SEO is not overwhelming. Only listen to the SEO people out there. You know, there's plenty of people like me that try and break it down for you and keep SEO at its core, which all it is just a quality website that helps your target audience. Good design, quality information, a smooth experience, and then building the brand around that website is what will work on your SEO. It's not complicated tactics like a content cluster for each keyword. It just, honestly, when someone says the word content cluster, I just roll my eyes in my head. There's no such thing. You don't need to be creating these complicated mind maps or investing in these SEO tools that will do content maps for you and stuff like that. No. For each sort of topic on your website or each product on your website, have you asked the general questions about it? Have you thought of the pain points around that product? Yes? Great. Well, you've already done a content cluster then. That's all it is. We don't need to make it sound like some complicated magical tool that will propel your website to the next level. SEO doesn't have to be complicated. Yes, there can be complicated parts if you have a complicated setup of your website, or perhaps you're selling something which is a bit dodgy. I don't know, say you're a porn website or a gambling website. SEO would be very hard for that, with lots of rules around it. But if you're just a typical small business owner or you're a blogger, just focus on putting out quality content that helps people. That's all I do with this website. I just help people, and it's growing and growing, and it's great to see. And on that note, I hope you got some value out of this podcast episode today. They're my top SEO mistakes. Please obviously follow on Instagram at The Plan Success, where you can write to if you've got any questions. Of course, obviously check out my website where I do sell my course. And I've also got some free resources that you can download if you're just getting started on your SEO journey and you really, you know, you don't want to invest in a course or anything like that yet. But that's all from me today. So thank you very much. See you next time.